This is VOA News. I'm Gene Randall. Iran's sudden decision to raise gasoline prices and begin rationing has prompted public protests and domestic online complaints. AP correspondent Sarah Bassett reports the anger is on full display.
Peaceful protesters chanted, "Police, support us," in major cities in Iran. A large group blocked traffic on a major highway in Tehran on Saturday, the first day of Iran's working week, calling for police to join them as the season's first snow fell. A large crowd in the city of Kermanshah also demonstrated and later drew tear gas fire from police. Iran announced the cuts to gasoline subsidies on Friday without any prior warning. The demonstrations put new pressure on the government of Iran's relatively moderate President Hassan Rouhani. As parliamentary elections loom, Rouhani has been trying to pitch Iran on the idea of staying in his landmark 2015 nuclear deal with world powers. The accord is unraveling after President Donald Trump withdrew the US from it over a year ago, raising tensions across the wider Mideast. I'm Sarah Bassett.
A car bomb exploded today in a northern Syrian town held by Turkish-backed fighters. First reports said at least 12 people were killed and several others were wounded. The area has been plagued by a number of blasts over the past month after Turkey began a military operation against Kurdish fighters it considers terrorists, who charge they have been abandoned by the United States. Voters in Sri Lanka are going to the polls today to elect a new president. The top contenders are former Defense Secretary Gotabaya Rajapaksa, the brother of a former president, and Sajith Premadasa from the governing Liberal United National Party. Muslim voters traveling by bus to polling stations in northern Sri Lanka were attacked by gunfire and stones and blocked by burning tires before the polls opened. There were no reported injuries, and police are said to be investigating. From Washington, this is VOA News. Israel says it carried out airstrikes on Hamas in Gaza today, despite Thursday's ceasefire agreement. The Israeli military said it acted after it intercepted two rockets fired from Gaza toward Israeli territory. Back in the United States, the first week of public testimony in the possible impeachment of U.S. President Donald Trump wound up with a closed House Intelligence Committee session. That's when a State Department official posted to Ukraine, quoted from a cell phone conversation he said he overheard between the president and his European Union ambassador, Gordon Sondland. David Holmes says Sondland told Mr. Trump that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was ready to grant his request to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden. That was just a day after Mr. Trump directly asked Zelensky to carry out an investigation. Later, Holmes said Sondland told him that a Biden probe was what he called the kind of big stuff that interested President Trump rather than helping Ukraine. Friday also provided a compelling testimony from the ousted former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch. She said her abrupt dismissal played into the hands of shady interests the world over. VOA's Catherine Gibson reports on what lies ahead in the week to come.
The first week of public impeachment inquiry hearings into President Donald Trump finished.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth?
Ahead, an even busier schedule of witnesses in the second week. 3 days of upcoming testimony from 8 diplomatic and national security officials who will say that U.S. foreign policy in Ukraine was subverted for the president's political interests, directed by his personal lawyer.
Rudy Giuliani has made no secret of his desire to get Ukraine to open investigations into the Bidens, as well as a conspiracy theory of Ukrainian interference in the 2016 election.
Democrats allege the president fired the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine to remove an obstacle to his plans. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Capitol Hill.
Testifying behind closed doors today is Mark Sandy, a senior official in the Office of Management and Budget. Rising floodwaters have prompted the mayor of Venice to close off some vital areas of the city. Reuters correspondent Francesca Lina reports.
The floods, known as Acqua Alta, are at the highest level in more than 50 years, threatening irreparable damage to historic treasures. The St. Mark's Byzantine Basilica was flooded for the sixth time in 1,200 years, but the fourth in the last 20. The national government allocated an initial 20 million euros to address the immediate damage on Thursday. And Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte said on Friday the government will hold a meeting on November 26th to discuss governance and the structural problems of the city.
More news at voanews.com. Gene Randall, VOA News.